The opinions expressed in the following podcast are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide education and entertainment about the financial industry and the stock market. Enjoy.
On this episode of Pennies Going In Raw, we have a one percenter, ESQ Trading, telling us her story and how she became the successful trader she is today.
You find out life's this game of pennies.
Oh, you guys know we only have a 40% runner. Hello? 40% right is a f***ing killing.
We've been compliant for too long. It's time we go to war.
I don't have a Roth.
Q knows so much about the market that his brain doesn't have enough room for grammar.
Hey, who told me about IDEX? It's going up a shit ton now.
Rob, 4%, baby.
No way.
4%.
You asked the exact same question with two words different.
It's like, f***, man, I just got dick whipped for like 20%, and now that f***er's up like 50.
I bet Warren Buffett never did that.
I'm just making this voice memo to call out unusual whales to a fight.
The pennies we need are everywhere around us.
Pennies, pennies,
pennies. Going in raw.
Featuring Dan, Deity of Dips,
and Hugh Honey.
Produced by Vinny
and Christian.
Let's go, baby.
Welcome back to another episode of Pennies Going In Raw. Today is Sunday, September the 26th, and we have on ESQ Trading. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
A lot better than Monday, I'll tell you what. Yeah.
Oh, man. Monday was rough.
Well, I'm actually having, you know, we're recording this on Thursday. I'm having one of my worst mornings between TMC and an ear. I got tag teamed, Eiffel Towered, whatever you want to call it. TMC didn't want to bounce after being down 30% yesterday. An ear, you know, I saw it down 60% and I said, what the hell? You know, it's down this much. Where else can it go but up? And it kept going down. So here we are. I've got to go to my other source of income, which is recording a podcast. So how are you guys today?
It was a nice green little morning for me. Sorry about your morning. But just did some of the Momo trades this morning.
Dude, are you even down more than 1% of your account?
It's like 1.1%, you know?
Yeah, so. Dude, see? That doesn't even matter. Dude, if you're not having like 10% swings, you're not trying hard enough.
If I had a 10% swing, I would be 10% swinging off this balcony right now.
I would, if I took trades like you did, Hugh, I would die. Like I wouldn't be trading. You would be like, I'd be down in the dirt, like just dead.
I'll be honest, it really was a tough 2 months over here at Hugh Henney Capital. especially Monday was like the one that broke the camel's back. I went below like a certain number that I always said that I didn't want to ever.
Your account stop loss.
Yeah, my account stop loss, and I was like, holy fuck. Like, I genuinely never thought that I would ever get below that. In 2 months, it was like, boom, there. So Monday was tough. Monday was tough. But BCTX is banging for the boys, right, or for me right now. So that's good. That's good. So, yeah, I mean, we've bounced back. I'm now green on the week.
So I guess kind of getting started, I mean, you tweeted just recently, you hit your first million, which is a huge accomplishment. So big congratulations on that.
Thank you.
When did you start investing? How did you start? Did someone tell you about it? Like, where did that even begin?
So I started back in September 2019. So actually 2 years from now, right? Like around this time, 2 years ago, I was getting hit with offerings, buying things at the top, believing that like small cap companies were going to become like large cap companies, you know, pretty much doing everything you're not supposed to, not taking profits. And I kind of got into it because I opened up like a TD account to save money. I started working and that was like my first like real job. And I wanted to like just save money. And then I hopped on to StockTwits. That's where I, you know, found out my stock that I lost. Huh?
Naturally. I mean, that's where everyone goes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what everyone went. Do they go there anymore? I think that's where everyone like, went whenever, back in 2019.
Yeah. Whenever you first start trading, you do like you Google, then you go to StockTwits, then you find your first Discord, and then you find another Discord, and then you finally settle in, you know?
Yeah. That's kind of how it went. So did that for a little bit. And then, basically, like, I want to say it was like February was, I'm pretty sure that's the right month. But I was in like Codex and I was like trading it over and over again, just like within the week, because I had my account was under PDT at the time. And it was kind of like at that time, it wasn't really profitable because I kind of would just make money on something and lose it on something else, and then make money on something and lose it on something else. But basically, I really believed in the company and I thought that it was going to like go para. And I like bought the news that everyone was selling and was like instantly down like hundreds of dollars, which at the time was like I was going to die, you know. So I like basically quit. I got scared. Right. I thought like, OK, you know what? I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know at all what I'm doing. Right. So I need to like figure out what I'm doing before I continue down this path. And then I kind of just didn't trade from then until like June when I came back, and that's when I had a little bit more free time, kind of got an idea of what was actually going on in small cap land, kind of learned that like the small cap tickers were like things you trade, like not really investing for the most part, like primarily. And from there it just kind of spiraled.
That's interesting how you said like your story and then lining it up like with the timeline of mine. I started in September of 2019 as well. I stopped around that February, March area because I was like, oh shit, I lost half my account, and I withdrew a good bit. And the only reason I got back in is because I got fired like the next week, and it just happened to be when the market crashed. So everything I went in went up and I found that base. But
yeah.
So you said you had more free time. Was that due to, I guess, the lockdown? And what were you kind of doing? Like you said, that was, you started working. Did you get out of like grad school and start, or what was that?
Yeah. So I graduated law school in 2018, and then I started working in 2019. Cause I passed the bar in 2018, like right after I graduated. And then I was taking some time off. And I was going to go to work for this company that I had interned for, while in law school. So 2019 is when I started working. And then, you know, I basically realized that being a lawyer wasn't all that I thought it was going to be, which was hard. That was a hard realization, because I think up until I was like starting at like 8 years old, basically, I thought, oh, I'm going to be a lawyer. Like, I don't remember a time being young and not thinking I'm going to be a lawyer.
What did you think it was going to be? Like, what did you think lawyers just like you get in court and start arguing?
It was actually the opposite. So okay. I thought I was going to like go and help people. Right. So I thought I was going to like be like this person that helped people. And I had like a little bit of like hesitation about that in college, where I was like, maybe I should go be a teacher. But you know, at that time in my family, there was only one successful person, cause everyone's like first generation, and he was a lawyer. And so it was like one of those things where like, if you became a lawyer, you would make it, kind of a thing. And, so I did everything that I was supposed to do. I did really well in law school. I got like the job that like I wanted. I didn't have billables, all the things that like most lawyers would hate to have, like when they first start working, like billable hours are like the thing that you do not want. They suck. And I didn't have them, and I got to work in house. It was great. My legal team was great. My boss was great. And then I just found myself like hating doing what I did. Like, I just did not like enjoy it. It didn't feel like I was being helpful to people in the way that I wanted to be. Yeah, and that was tough. It was a tough realization. But basically, the pandemic kind of made it possible to quit, because even though I was working from home, there was a pause in student loan payments. And that was big, because I also had like student debt. So I saw it as an opportunity to like maybe take a break just for a little bit, because I knew I could just go back to practicing. But I wanted to like take a break kind of to like clear my head and figure out like if that was something I wanted to do forever.
Yeah, there was a short stint there where I watched the show called Suits.
I love that show.
I love that show. I wanted to, and
haven't
I wanted
watched
to be
a single episode.
Good lawyer show.
Sweet. Yeah. Great lawyer show. Yeah. Damn, we could be like Mike and Harvey or something.
Yeah, I could see it.
I've heard a lot of good things, though. Everyone that knows I'm a lawyer always says, oh, you should watch Suits.
Just watch the first episode, and it's one that'll actually get you hooked. It's not one of the ones you got to watch like six episodes. Oh.
You know what? I'm taking TV suggestions right now, TV show suggestions, so I will watch it. That will
Meghan Markle, it looks great as a paralegal.
She looks great.
Second thing, did you pay off your student loans as you went along, so as you started to make money, or was it just like you paid them off once you hit like the million or something?
So they're not paid off yet, and the reason they're not paid off is because I was pretty much holding out for thinking there was going to be some type of like student loan forgiveness.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, you know what? I have the money to. So I consider myself debt free because I feel like I have the money to pay them whenever I want to.
But if they take it, if they forgive it, why not?
Yeah. If they forgive it, like why not? I graduated with 100, and they're at like 110.
Oh, as a lawyer, you only had That's pretty good.
Yeah. I got lucky in that sense. So I had a full ride to law school, but I was still like financially illiterate, I think, that I took out money for living. So that's why it's 100K. Yeah, okay.
That's going to be my next thing to tackle, like inside Twitter, not taking money out.
I did. I took out loans to live, and then I had a little bit from undergrad. So it wasn't all just from law school, but I had 100 grand in student loans.
And then what's more difficult, the bar or trading?
The bar or trading? That's a good question.
Or I guess like what takes more, like what takes, I don't want to say intellect, but like what takes, like, because me personally,
bar
sometimes
takes
at the
a
end
lot
of, the day,
of preparation. I know that much.
I feel like after trading, like after like a really tough day of trading, I'm mentally exhausted. Is it the same but different in that sense, or?
So I'm in California. Mm-hmm. When I was studying for the bar, the 2 or 3 months that you prepare for it, 1,000%, like, 100 times harder than trading has been for me. That those 2 months, if I were to like spread those 2 months out and sprinkle it, probably like same. I think there's more emotions that I think go into trading. That's pretty much what you have to master. I think that's a little bit harder than I think just memorizing rules, because rule memorization and like memorizing things on a chart will, you know, you can eventually do that. The psychological and like execution part is where I think trading is probably harder.
I mean, I'm looking at, right, like as we're talking, I'm looking at your TD Ameritrade balance graph thing. I mean, you're incredibly consistent for months. Do you want to talk a little bit about how you really stay so consistent, and kind of what your strategy is?
I recognize like probably from that first experience of like being like all over the place with trading, when I did come back to it, I kind of was like, okay, I just need to take profits, and like when I'm up, just like take them. And it was kind of like I don't want to say easy, because people still bought tops, but it was like, you know, relatively like you could do that. There was more opportunity to be green and take money than there was to like be red at that time. And so I just started taking profits. I just did that. Like I would be up like a couple $100, take the profit, a couple hundred here, a couple hundred there, and it would just add up for the day. And that's kind of what I did in the beginning to build the account. And that's what you kind of see. And then January, February, it kind of like pressed like hard. because I was trading at the time that like, remember like Kodak? like stock going crazy. I was trading at that time, but didn't know enough to trade it. So I never traded it, right? Because I didn't know how to. So when that kind of market like came back, or that kind of like tape came back where I could see like everyone was buying everything and everything was going up and it was like going crazy, I was like, okay, this is the time to do it. So I pressed a little bit harder those months.
So you noticed the months where you can alleviate, you can say, hey, I can throw risk management out the window, or not quite out the window, but to the side a little bit to achieve like the bigger gains.
Yeah. Yeah. I threw risk management to the side a lot. I got way better at like trading, like just like really off the charts, like using EMA lines and all of that. And those were all working so well during that period because everything was going up. So there wasn't really any like, you didn't see knife candles like you see like now or since April that we've been seeing. I don't remember those being a thing back then. And so, so that kind of was that part. And then in April and May, like, it was hard. Like in April and May, I was like, am I even a trader? Like, can I even make money? Because it looks like it's going flat. But that was 2 months of me waking up every single day and one day being green and the next day being red. And the one day being green and the next day being red. Like, it wasn't like I didn't trade during that time. I traded every single day. I just didn't have like part of it was probably a little bit psychological coming out of that January, February, March period and thinking things would still work the same. But then I kind of just went back to like, basics of just taking the profits and moving along. And then it got kind of better after that.
Yeah, I kind of noticed like when you said you were getting into small caps when you first had that time off, I assumed due to, quarantine and everything. And you also, you mentioned the full ride to law school. So it seems like you've always been kind of a habitual learner. You learn a lot. Not to toot our own horn, but I mean, you did mention the podcast is one of them. But I mean, aside from that, there must have been like so many resources you used to learn, because I mean, you look at your chart, it's very clear where you start taking off. And I mean, where do you dive in whenever you realize, hey, I'm off work, I've got some time and I'd love to do this, but I need to be good at it?
Yeah. So basically I quit. And then like before I quit, there was like, there's some overlap there. I don't know how much of it is an overlap because it was kind of like on my mind in May to start trading again, because I was also kind of thinking about quitting. And then when I did quit, I had time and it was kind of just like learning. At that time it was news. Right. So like anything that said COVID in the headline kind of went. So I was just basically figuring out patterns. If you want to tie it into law school, and probably this is the only thing I think that like transfers well, is like there's like a certain level of like discipline, I think that takes. But also like there's a lot of if then statements. So there's a lot of like, if this happens, then this will happen. Like if these elements are met, then this crime exists, or like whatever, right? And so I just would find like patterns and stuff like that. So it would be like, okay, if this news comes out, if this person specifically talks about this news, like it's going all day kind of a thing. And you would just kind of just tracking that and then going from there.
Gotcha. And are there any like resources you used like just to learn aside from just pattern recognition, or did you just completely find your own strategy? Because I mean, that's kind of.
Oh, no. So, oh, sorry. Yeah. Yeah. So, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no, you're good. I do it all the time.
Yeah. So resources for me, like there were books, but, books I'm not like the best at in terms of like getting information that I need. Videos were big. I did like the naked chart videos. And then my favorite way to learn by far has been observing how other people trade. So like, I think a perfect example of this, because this was someone that helped me early on, was Verde. So he would like be on the trading.
Yeah, the lawyer cult.
Yeah. So like he would be on Discord, and then he would post like the SEC filings or the earnings or like the news reports, right? And what I would do is I would like look at what he posted, and then I would look at the chart. And after a while, you could tell like what filing made a stock move up, what filing made a stock move down, and then just creating rules based off that. I did the same thing later on, like in that January, February, March period with the three big ones for me at that time were SD, Gary, and Rocket Catch and Bob. So what I did was is like I would watch some of Gary's videos, and he would be talking about like, you know, the EMA lines or how he uses them. And then like I would notice, oh, this is how it's working on a chart. And I'd be like, okay, I can do this too. Like this, I would like, you know, use his strategy. And then with SD, like, oh, he talked about hammer candles a lot. And I was like, okay, let me figure out what this hammer candle thing is about. Figured out that. Rocket Catch and Bob was all about like chart patterns for me. So then I was like, okay, figuring out like more about chart patterns, like really doing it like more intensely at that time. The size thing. Remember I told you, I guess I sized up. That was because of one of Gary's tweets. Like he literally tweeted about sizing up.
I know exactly that what tweet you're talking about.
Yeah, that stirred a lot of emotion. Yeah.
And I took it. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna size up. Because the only other advice I'd had that point on sizing was from Verde on large cap, which was like to keep your size a little bit like conservative. And yeah, I still do that till this day. But yeah, so my favorite resource has been people, I guess. Like listening to your guys' podcast, like even for me, like, like you, the tweet came up the other day, right? About like buying houses and like not wanting to wait to buy one, like having enough money to buy 10.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that totally changed my perspective, which is crazy. Cause it's just one sentence someone said somewhere, right? Like on a podcast. But then that like changed my perspective. I haven't bought myself like anything pretty much nice since I've made all this money. Because I'm just waiting to like start. Have more. I know, right? I know I'm going to at some point. But like, you know, me before I like ever made the money that I'm making now, I would like kind of spend it like in, you know, in ways that I probably shouldn't have spent it. But like, yeah, that one line. I don't buy anything.
Yeah, I used to be considerably more frugal, but the one thing that I did do, I mean, the watches is something that I always felt like I'd never really spent any large amount of money except on student debt, really. But I felt like buying the watches, like when I had the watches, I was like, holy shit, these are expensive. But then every time I look at them, I'm like, yeah, like I did that. Like I can have, you know, this someone, you know, like my old salary on my wrist, you know, something like that. But no, I definitely get to your point about not wanting to spend the money. And to your point about that you used to spend your money differently on wasteful things, that's something that I feel I hear so often from traders because it's different. You'll spend, mm-hmm. I mean, like I'll lose 70, 80, 200,000, but, you know, like Starbucks yesterday, I wanted a coffee so bad and I walked around and I'm like, fuck that, like $5, get the fuck out of here. So I really do think that it's funny the way that that works, you know?
Yeah, mine was a little different. Like I had this like phase in my 20s where like I liked buying luxury handbags or receiving them as gifts, right? And I don't know why I was doing that, man. I was like broke. Like, I don't know what I was doing out here, like, with a Chanel bag. Like, I had a Chanel bag and, like, no money to put in it, basically. Like, that was literally the life I was living. And now, like, I'm sitting here. I've had the most money that I've ever had in my life. Like, it's unfathomable. Like, it still doesn't even register to me sometimes. Like, it's unbelievable in my mind, right? And, yeah, nothing. Nothing has been purchased to that caliber at all.
But you, at but least you can, Starbucks. You have money to put in the Chanel bag now.
Yeah.
Um, So you kind of mentioned like the patterns and everything that worked for you, especially when it was such a hot market. I mean, we talked about it before we even started recording, like there is luck that plays into it. And then like you hit that April, May, and you said you weren't even sure if you were a trader. How do you kind of adjust to keep up the steady gains after that? Like, was it just the hot market came back, or did you find a way to adjust and ease back in?
I definitely felt like the market picked up in May. Like towards the end of May, the market definitely picked up. And I think that that contributed to me making a comeback on the chart, at least. Or even, yeah, in reality, just the market, I think, kind of helped. Also, my mentality a little bit. So like, it was interesting, right? So during that period, because my husband also trades. So during that period, we should have had
the SQs or the wait, sorry, I'm messing this up.
Yeah, she's E, last name SQ, and he's like RSQ.
Yeah, we could have done a couples thing.
is that how it works?
No, I just made up your last name.
Oh, okay. I was like, wait a minute. Did he get a title from me being like having S at the end of my name?
Who's more successful?
What kind of question is that?
I don't know.
Hey, no, between you and the person that you're equal with, let's start a little rivalry here. Which one of you guys is not doing as good as the other?
So, you know what's funny? He, like, it's never like he's competing with me, but I, like, low-key compete with him, right? So, like, I will be sitting here, like, being like, oh, let me see what kind of day I had compared to you. And there's days where, like, I do better than him, and there's, like, months where I've done better than him. But overall, he's done better. He had a better year last year than I did. Yeah. And
do y'all have similar trading strategies or trade together? How's it even work? I feel like y'all would be making the same.
No, we don't trade the same stuff usually. And then also, I mean, sometimes we trade the same stuff if it's like a Momo play, right? And it's going and if he's day trading, he likes swinging a little bit more. He has a little bit more tolerance for that. Sometimes it's interesting, especially when like he is so conservative and so risk adverse. So like, even though like my chart looks like I'm the person that's risk adverse and I'm like his consistency is on a different level. I think for the year he's had like 5 red days.
Damn. Yeah. He is doing
Shit, and so like, okay. So that April, May period that I was talking about, right? I was sitting here and this probably contributed to it. I was sitting here every single day going up and down, up and down, up and down. Meanwhile, he's like on a steady incline for the entire 2 months, like nothing crazy, just like a couple $100 a day. And like, he's just steadily inclining while I'm over here, like taking risks and trading, like, you know, I shouldn't have been. And then just doing that up and down yo-yo. So it helps like being next to somebody like that.
Did y'all start at the same time? I mean, if so, I mean, it's super impressive to have two people trading separately that both become remarkably successful in such a short amount of time.
Kind of yes and no. So he started back like when he got his first job, right? Someone at his work told him about trading. This was, I think, back in like 2015 or 14. This is like when commissions existed. Like he told me he used to trade, place his trades through like a website, like, you know, kind of a thing. And at that time, like he was doing like large cap and mid cap, like, earnings was really what he was doing, but nothing near the level of what we're doing like now, like nothing like that. Small cap was pretty much been like me and him been doing it at the same time.
So I think this is kind of something that a lot of people like to know, especially with different guests we have, is like, what is your strategy of finding a stock? You wake up, do you look at your scanner? Do you look at Twitter? Like, what is your routine whenever you, like, if you had nothing on your board that day, how are you going about finding what stock you're about to make your trade with?
What a great question to ask. I just made a flowchart about this. So pretty much I'll wake up in the morning and I'll do like a run through on my phone, basically to see like what's going on Twitter. And then I'll check like the gappers list, right? So I'll see like what's popping up at the top right? What has like a, you know, good volume, like has a lower float. If it's something that I've traded before, kind of know how it trades. I look at that a little bit more, and then I'll just kind of like run through Twitter, see what everyone is kind of playing, like what's most of small cap like rallying behind. And then just kind of go from there. I use like the free scanner in Atlas, the voice, Pepper's voice. I don't have my own scanner yet. So that will kind of like, you know, go off and like alert me to like things that are moving kind of intraday. But that's kind of how I do it for small cap. For large cap, I look at the PT upgrades, downgrades, look at the news that's come out on the day, see if anything like broke a level that I had already set or is going to break out of something that I've already drawn, kind of a thing.
While we're talking, I'm looking at your days. Is it odd when you had all that growth, you know, inside those hot months? And then now I'm looking at it and it's like, you know, 0.3% gain on the account and 0.5%. Me mentally, sometimes it fucks with me when I'm like, fuck, like I'm not making any progress on my account. Or are you just kind of looking at the number like, yeah, like 2000 is 2000?
Yeah. I don't think it mentally bothers me that I'm not making like those crazy days that I had back in January and February. Yeah. Just because I knew those days were like crazy days.
Okay.
Like every day I was like, it could have been like every day. Every day I was like DMing like Bear Day and I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm having this day. Like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm having this day. And then the market obviously like pulled back that last week of February and I was like, okay, like the ride is over. Back to like, you know. Yeah. Oh, that's when I realized I was not a swing trader. I tried swinging something and I woke up down like, I don't know, I was down like 14K at the most in the beginning of the day. And I ended up cutting all my trades and I was like, I'm never swinging anything again. Why did I do this to myself?
Did you say that was February?
Yeah, it was like the end of February, like that last week.
I lost 10% of my account. That was some tough days over here. I lost 10% of my account
that
overnight. Yeah, I remember that. I lost 10% of my account like overnight. There were so many curse words flying through this apartment. No, I remember that.
Yeah.
I was almost done day trading that week.
Yeah, and you know what sucked? The day that I cut the trades, I think the trades that I cut, like I cut
bounced
them
back.
Like in the morning, cut them and just went to sleep. Like I took like a depression nap, you know, like I was like, I need to go to sleep. Like I can't deal. Woke up and everything was back up. And I wanted to like I was just like, yeah, I can't, I don't have the psychology for this. And so I recognized that about myself and then just moved on. But yeah, going back to your question.
I was just going to say, I'm 15 feet away from a 400 foot drop. I can't be down that much on a swing now. I can't wake up to them.
No, don't say that.
Swings
don't
bounce,
that.
I won't.
A little morbid. But no, I knew that was unrealistic. I knew it was unrealistic. I still want like big days. I just don't feel, I feel like I rather just do it when it's like really there for the taking, you know?
Yeah. I get what you mean. Like when the market's hot and it's just everything's mooning. Yeah, I totally get that. Where do you see yourself in 5 years as a trader? Or where do you hope to see yourself in 5 years as a trader?
Ooh, good question. Where do I see? That's a really good question, actually.
Turks and Caicos, baby.
Yeah. Do you want to move into more passive income? Or is it just like you're like, fuck it. Like, I'll build my account up to like,
yeah,
10 million,
like someone,
15
someone
million.
Asked, I think it kind of relates to this. Someone said, I've always wanted to know what your plan is for later in life. Once all the debt's paid off and everything's set in stone and bills are paid, do you plan on doing options for longer term income next to trading or do commons investment or have your retirement managed? But I was thinking, I was like, hell, whatever she's doing is working. You know, just keep that up.
I guess that's why I'm a little stumped by the question because I think that's kind of my answer, right? Like I pretty much would just continue what I'm doing now, get better at it, hopefully scale up in terms of like being able to handle a little bit more size. So like I'm making more at some point, but yeah, I don't have any plans right now, like of doing anything with like passive income, just because I feel like I was so stressed out, like at work, and I was super stressed. I mean, can you imagine? We had a cleaning company and the pandemic hit, and like we had like 5 manufacturing plants, like people, workers were getting sick. Like it was a mess. And I just thought to myself, like, I didn't want to do that again. And so I don't want to deal with anything else. Like I like trading. I wake up every morning. It's fun. Get to be online with all these people. Everyone's like having a good time, like making money, you know?
I mean, you're so positive because half the time I feel like FinTwit's high school, but
I've had a really good experience so far. That's probably why.
That's awesome.
No one's been that mean to me yet. not that mean, but
no, that's yeah, that's awesome.
They'll come around eventually. You're at that 20K yeah. mark. Yeah, I think around like 30, 35K. They'll
oh my
really
god,
coming.
Yeah.
Oh. I was telling Dan earlier, like I had my first run in with like had my first run in with like someone that was like basically mean on Twitter, and yeah. I cried.
Yeah, I was gonna say you need
why
to.
Why are people so mean?
You need to be emotionally strong, mentally strong to be a trader, and you seem like it. But then you tell me like, oh, someone made you cry on Twitter, and I'm like, where is this?
I didn't listen. No, go ahead.
Yeah, my stock never called me a bitch.
Yeah, man. Like, that was too mean, okay? Like, he was so mean to me online. Like, for no reason. All the things and everything that people say that's, like, the few things that I get that it's, like, someone's, like, saying something rude. It's, like, just scroll. You'll get your answer. It's all there. Like, I've been tweeting for the past, like, year. Also, I never expected to have followers. That was another thing. Like, I just was, like, oh, I'm going to journal this. You know, I think it'd be cool to look at.
Yeah, I mean, shit, me either.
It's working.
Yeah. I mean, listen, just a mentor told me once that, like, if you've never met them in real life, then they don't matter. Something like that. He told me something like that. And
yeah.
I mean, still, fuck, half the people I meet in real life don't matter neither.
What do you... What?
Yeah, my husband was like, he was like, are they paying you? Are they giving you like a 1099 or whatever the form is? And I was like, no. And he was like, okay, then they don't matter. And I was like, all right. He's like, you don't work for anybody. And I was like, okay, you don't. Like, it was not good.
And he's a swing trader? I mean, shoot.
Yeah.
He sounds like a nice
friends.
Guy.
I know. He's nice.
What kind of kept you like kept trading going through like whenever you weren't profitable? Obviously during the April and May, you knew what you could accomplish through the market, but and the first time you quit, but was there any time wherever you were just like, oh, I gotta keep going, but this just isn't working?
You know, I think probably in the beginning there was days where if I had a red day or I took a red trade, I like would question my ability to like do well, which was like fair because I didn't really have like as solid of a plan, or I wasn't as like quote good of a trader as I am like now, right? Like
I mean, I'm looking at your balance chart. I don't even know what the
it's
hell you call this thing.
It's his fucking screensaver at this point.
It's just a TD thing. It's just a chart on TD.
Yeah. But I mean, you're so consistent. Like mine, I know, especially in the beginning, I mean, I had these massive dips. So then that's when I was, as Dan was saying, like that's when I thought that I couldn't do it because I sucked at it. But I mean, you're pretty consistent to the point to where it's like, you know, it seems...
There was one day, so this was recent, actually, right? Because when I knew I didn't know everything, and I still don't know everything, like there's so much that I still have to like learn and fully understand, right? But when I knew I was a beginner, I guess I was a little bit more easier on myself. But then like I want to say it was like maybe a few weeks back or like a month-ish back, right? I had this red day, that 16K red day. And that was my biggest red day at that point. And there was like, I don't know, a couple of days before that, I had this one day where I was down like 20K, right, on the day. And that was the most I'd ever been down. And by some miracle, I made it to, I made it back, all back plus $4,000. And I remember thinking like, wow, you're a good trader because you were able to do that. And like, but also thinking like, wow, you're also like a dumbass. Like, why were you down $20,000, right? But then that day that I was down 16 and I could not make it back, right? My account was like big at this point. This was only a couple, like maybe a month and a half ago, a couple weeks ago. I really was like, what if you're not a good trader? And what if this whole thing is a sham? Like, what if like it's all going to go away now? You know, and then I just came back the next day and it was fine. Just, yeah, and, you know, changed up what it was.
I think another cool thing that you do, and especially just because I don't even think I'd be able to do it, is you withdrew 250 grand, mainly for taxes and whatever else you may need. But I mean,
yeah,
if I were you, I would have waited till I hit 1.3 million just so I would never see myself below the million mark. But you said, fuck it. These numbers don't matter. You don't have like that magic number in your account you need to stay over that is so stupid, you know? I feel so dumb and I'm like, why am I going for this number? It doesn't matter. But you took it out.
I hate to say this, but I genuinely think it might be because she's a girl. Yes.
Oh my God, Adelon is the one who brought it up. Who is like the magical number stupid, and she's the one.
I'll tell you the reason. But go ahead. I want to hear your theory.
Yeah, let's hear your misogynistic reason.
No, because this is something that gets me in trouble now. If I sound stupid, and it's not, I just feel like dudes are dumb and they're. They're like, we need to
we're
be
so
above.
Like high score based. Like, no, I hit the fucking thing. I got 820. I got 840.
I don't
want to
see
bar.
That comma go away. Yeah. Where like girls are just like, dude, what?
It's
like,
just going into another bank account.
Like, yeah, like it's going to do what it's going to do. I don't know. That's my theory behind
yeah,
it. But
so let's hear the right answer. Yes. Yeah.
So the right answer was, what date was that? That was September.
2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah, it was, but it was like a specific date. It was September 9th, right? What was coming up in 6 days?
I thought that was 6-9.
But... oh, no,
my birthday.
It was September 9th. Yeah, I
you
had
bought
to
me
do
a
it,
fucking
so...
Lamborghini?
No, I freaking paid the IRS, man. That's what I did. It would have been cool to keep it going, but at that point, like, people always wonder, like, where are my taxes getting paid? So, like I said, you know how my husband trades also, right? Yeah. Basically, one of us is trading and the other one is paying taxes on the person's gains. Like, that's pretty much the life we're living right now. So, he had been paying the taxes out of his account this, like, for a while now, right? So, he paid last year's, he paid Q1, he paid Q2. And then he was like, all right, Q3, you're up. You know, like you hit the million. Like I got my screenshot, which is what I wanted. I wanted that screenshot of like getting there. Right. And I got there. And then I don't even know why. So I don't know why the screenshot mattered to me as much as it did, but it looked cool and I really wanted it.
The screenshot, actually, whenever I first hit 50,000, I took a screenshot, posted it to Twitter, went back. I was at 48,000. I was like all in HTGM and it popped and it dropped.
So, yeah. So that's the real reason. So,
so it's not because you're a girl.
So it's not because you're a girl. Gotcha. Huh.
No, so, no. It's actually out. Because I'm a girl that I was just, you know, I don't know. Yeah.
Kinda. Your husband wouldn't be married to a dude, so it's like, there's
kinda.
Yeah, he
wouldn't have been paying the taxes.
You wouldn't have had. That makes sense. So I guess you're kind of right in some weird universe.
Big brain over here.
Well, I mean, yeah. I think that's all. That's all about I've got. Unless you've got anything, Hugh. This has been
I can't believe how humble you are. This has been fun.
I mean, I was certainly not as humble as you at a million.
Yeah, he thought you were a dude until like a week and a half ago.
I did.
Oh man,
I did.
Everyone does. It's okay.
I did. Well, it's not like, fair, it's like how the fuck am I supposed to look at ESQ and be like, oh,
yeah,
well, I guess I shouldn't assume dude either, yeah, but.
That's totally fair. I don't do anything to like, you know, highlight that I'm a girl, except
start
like let everyone
tweeting
know
out
all the time.
Ponies and horses. And, yeah, you should let people know.
The only benchmark for women in trading is Anaya Trades or whatever.
Anaya
what
Trades person. Ass, yeah, all over Fintwit.
That's the bench. So everybody else would just assume is a dude.
Yeah, she needs to go to another place. Anyways, get me distracted at like 8 a.m. I'm like, I don't need this. All right, well, it was a blast having you. And this is episode 99, and so we're happy to have you before the triple digits. So yeah, thank you so much for joining us, and I hope you have a great rest of your trading day and week.
Thank you so much for having me, guys.
All right, well, keep listening. Just because you're on doesn't mean you can stop.
Yeah.
No, I mean, and I will say this before I leave if I have enough time to say this.
Of course.
I remember listening to the podcast like when it first started, and I still listen to it till this day. I still find like things in it that I think are super helpful. I've learned a lot. I've encouraged so many people to open up Roth IRAs. Like Hugh's mentality when it came to money was like solid for me, which is, it's crazy. People underestimate that stuff. You know, I'm 30 and I was like literally learning from like this, you know, from what I would
teenager,
like, you know, be like, oh, it's like 21-year-old, you know. But yeah, no, the podcast has been huge for me and really helped me in my journey. So thank you guys.
All right, we'll end it on
that. That means so much to us.
Y'all heard it.
Thank you.
All right, see ya.
All right, bye.
Hey guys, if you're tired of trimming your stocks too early, well, let me tell you something. Never worry about trimming anything early ever again with Manscaped. Let me tell you about their performance package 4.0. It comes with free boxers, a toiletry bag, and free shipping with a little discount when you use code PGIR. I mean, it comes with the razor you need, the sprays you need. I mean, dude, I mean, obviously, clearly I can't show you guys what's going on down there, but if I could, man, you guys would be amazed. Wireless charging, it's waterproof. Take it in the shower for all I care. I mean, it's going to get you right. It's got the light. Man, the Lawnmower 4.0 is the best trimmer I have ever used. And that's not all it comes with. It comes with hella other shit. Like the boxers, look, I get it. Not all of us are boxer guys. Give it to your girl. She'll like them too. But man, when it comes with the weed whacker, that shit's for your nose or ears. I mean, you could, God, Manscaped has something for every hole and crevice of your body. So make sure to use code PGIR on manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping. That's code PGIR on manscaped.com.